Divination is one of my favorite parts of being a witch. So I have got to share with you guys this new Kickstarter campaign by Mystic Metals. The creator combines the art of reading tarot and the magic of astrology with coin divination. They have divination coin sets such as timing coins, tarot coins, celestial coins, and so much more. The best part is you can mix and match them into your own custom coin casting set. She's also created these stunning casting mats and a whole range of tins and bags and boxes to store everything in. It is so beautifully done. Pledges start at $20, but you have to hurry as this campaign is closing Sunday, March 24th, 2024 at 12 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. The link to the Kickstarter is in the description box for this episode, and you're going to want to run, not walk, to snap some up for yourself. Welcome to Witch Talks, the series for spiritual seekers, witches, and enlightened souls. I'm Hannah the Suburban Witch, professional tarot reader, astrologer, and witch, and I hope you're ready to get up close and personal with your favourite witches. Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad to have you here today. This is going to be a pretty big episode because, newsflash, we're talking about ADHD. Myself and my guest Erica, we both have ADHD. So I'm sure if you're listening to this, you likely do as well. And things go off track a little bit sometimes, but it's all relevant in a way. We're going to be talking about using tarot as a tool to help with your ADHD. We also talk about what our medication experience has been like being medicated for ADHD, especially as spiritual people. There's so much flack out there for like, oh my gosh, you can't take medication, or you're going to stop your skills or psychic gifts. That's absolute BS. That is not a thing. Don't listen to people that say that. It does not block your gifts. So we do talk about that, and we talk about other health stuff because, I mean, a lot of the things I've been diagnosed with, which you will hear about, are highly comorbid with autism and ADHD. So if you are someone with either of those, you might learn something about your own body. So keep an ear out for those. Whilst it's not all talk about tarot, there is talk about tarot. There's talk about creating tarot decks. There's talk about health stuff, ADHD stuff. It's an interesting episode. I think you're going to love it. The original clip of this, I think, went for over 2 hours for the behind the scenes for those in the Suburban Witches Society. So if you want more about what we chatted about, then jump on over to the Suburban Witches Society. It's $30 a month. But I'm happy to offer you guys a discount code. Just simply put in OVENMITT, OVENMITT, when you go through checkout, and that will give you your first month for only $10. So you can get the behind the scenes podcast episode for this one and any of the other ones, plus a bunch of other resources and access to our private Facebook group and group calls. Like, amazing deal, right? So pop in OVENMITT. It is only for listeners of this episode. Let's get into it. Enjoy. And if you have any questions for me or my guests, please hit us up on Instagram. We'd love to chat with you. In this episode, I'm chatting with Erica Davis of Dork Witchery. Erica is a freelance editor, co-host, and producer of This Podcast Needs a Title, and a tarot reader. In 2013, she quit her doctoral program in a blaze of glory to coach adult learners through academic writing, pivoted to editing fiction, then apprenticed with a literary agency before joining Book Pipeline as a creative executive. Her work on grief and fandom, writing with ADHD, and quitting have appeared in Nerdist, Pipeline, Artists, and The Professor Is In, respectively. She lives with her husband and dogs. I did have on a 1/6 acre beet farm, but that has just changed because you have just moved to North Carolina.
North Carolina, yes.
Pygmy goats and chickens instead of beets.
This is true. It's a temporary digs, and we'll be closing on our new house in about 4 weeks.
Amazing. I've also got in here that you are a self-certified Schrute historian.
This is accurate.
And I need to know exactly what that means.
I'm obsessed with the character Dwight Schrute from the American version of The Office. I don't know if obsessed is the right word, but it's pretty damn close. Rainn Wilson's portrayal of Dwight Schrute, it's the first time I saw myself on television. Like, and they talk about, like, we talk in publishing that, like, representation matters. Mm-hmm. I felt it on a molecular level the first time I saw, like, episode 3. And I'm like, oh my God, is that how people see me? I'm amazing. Like, it's like, it just me, he makes so much sense to me. And I read his Rainn Wilson's autobiography or memoir, I guess, The Bassoon King. And in it was a line where he got from an acting coach the tip that he will always excel at the periphery, the liminal characters, the weirdos, to something that without pigeonholing him. But everything you said in the bio was correct when I sent it. I do want to amend two things. One, I took a hiatus from Pipeline and I still love those nerds so much. So please feel free to check out Pipeline. .com. I was specific to bookpipeline.com and the editorial services. Love you guys, miss you. But I stepped back for mental health while this move was underway. That was the absolute best choice I could have made. And I'm also, since I contacted you, I'm now a triple author for Insight Editions Tarot Decks.
Oh, yay! That's so
Meaning,
exciting.
I just signed the third contract for a third project, which I can tell you. It can't be in the official part.
All
But the
right.
two that are coming out are
We can talk
going to
about
talk about them
those.
now or later.
Oh, you
Yeah,
talk.
just
Talk about them now because we both have
shameless
ADHD
plug.
and we will forget.
Which is the original pitch for everybody listening and watching. This is the original pitch that I wrote to Hannah with as soon as I saw she has, hey, want to be on my podcast? I'm like, yes, let's talk about ADHD and how I use it with tarot and vice versa. And also tarot's oven mitts for me. It's not a long story. I could make it long if I wanted to, but I'm on Adderall now. Might be
Oh.
switching to Vyvanse. I've talked to you about that. Yeah. But the first deck that I wrote for Insight Editions was Clueless Tarot. It's coming out in March of 2025,
Oh, that is
based on
so
the
cool.
90s movie Clueless, for anybody who hasn't seen it yet.
See, I haven't seen it. I wasn't allowed to watch it when it was out because Christian upbringing.
Yeah,
So,
fair enough.
I mean, I'm
Yeah.
getting into a lot of 90s stuff now in my adult
Yeah.
life. Like, I watched Charmed for the first time over the last
I
2 years.
can't get into Charmed. I just got through Supernatural, so I might try Charmed next.
Yeah, I've tried
Yeah.
Supernatural. I think and I've tried Buffy, but Charmed I stuck with and I watched all of them. And now I love it in like
Awesome.
a
Good.
in the same way I love Gilmore Girls. Like, it's like, oh yeah, like it's not the best writing in the entire universe, but like, oh, it has a special place in my heart now.
It does. It's that nostalgia, the recent nostalgia. Yeah, that's amazing.
And what's the second deck about? Because I knew about the Clueless one. What's the second one?
Yes, you did. This one was just officially announced and has a publication date. It is House of the Dragon Tarot Deck and Guidebook.
Is
It's
that
the
Game of
spin-off.
Thrones?
Yes, this is the Game of Thrones spin-off. I'm the
That
author
is
of that
so
guidebook.
cool.
Thank you. It really is. I'm looking at your face, I'm like, oh wow, it is big, isn't it? Like,
That's
I still
big.
can't fathom that. And I'm also so proud of myself that both were equally challenging, Clueless and the House of the Dragon Tarot. And they're two completely different. One's a TV show, one's movie, and then talk about like era and fantasy versus contemporary and labor of love. And I think I don't know if it made it easier or more difficult that I do read cards as well. I before I started,
No, I think it's necessary.
it was so necessary. It was necessary, but I was wondering if it was going to hold me back a little bit. But no, I have that code switching ability that I can pivot from my reader self to my writer self to my editing self. It's three separate, I don't want to say entities, but I kind of do. Just it's code switching. Like, just I have gotten very, very good with the help of Adderall. Thank you, Adderall. I've gotten very
This
good
is
at
not
being
sponsored.
able, not sponsored in any way by Adderall. I've gotten really good at compartmentalizing that, like not getting overwhelmed anymore.
That, you know what? Let's just take a side note. I'm also medicated for ADHD. I'm on dexamphetamine. I did try Vyvanse. We've talked about that. It didn't,
Yeah.
it did implicate? I don't know if that's the word. It did make me have more migraines. I don't know. That sounds really not
Yeah.
the way I wanted to come out. My migraines were exacerbated by it.
Yeah.
And we don't know
Yes.
why, but apparently it's just a thing that can happen. But a lower dose of the
Sorry.
dexamphetamine more frequently has seemed to help. So,
That's awesome.
yes, I love it. But the thing that it helps with, because everyone's like, oh, it just helps you like either focus or blah, blah, blah. The thing it really helps with is the overwhelm. the thing that like,
thank you.
Oh, this is too big. I can't do the thing. And then suddenly you're like, yep. Oh, actually, really, it's only going to take me 10 minutes. And it's one of the things you learn with ADHD, that the thing you build up for months and avoid and avoid and avoid, and then you do it, it takes 10 minutes and you're like, I'm an idiot. I should have just done it. But this takes away the months and months. And suddenly you're like, oh yeah, sweet, I did it.
Absolutely. And I can add to that with complete confidence. It also helps take away the bad self-talk. Like, I'm an idiot. Yes. I'm not an idiot. I'm wired this way.
And the it rejection never sensitivity change. Is a little, not gone, but a little better.
I've heard you talk about this in some episodes, I think, but read about it. I don't know. You're everywhere and I love it. I consumed by suburban mystery and I love it. But I am so lucky, so blessed that I don't have the rejection sensitivity piece. Never did. It's almost the opposite. I'll just always take one for the team. Like, somebody has to be the slowest in gym. Someone has to be the ugliest at prom.
It's not so much that in terms of like, because I was also the slowest at running and things. And now it turns out I've got POTS and I didn't know. And now I'm like, oh, well, now I feel validated. That's why running was so
what's
hard.
What's POTS?
Postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. I recently got diagnosed. So basically my posture and the way that I like standing up puts extra strain on my heart and blood pressure because I have such low blood pressure. So when I went, overshare because that's what we do. My pain specialist who I'm seeing for migraines and these like frequent, like putting my back out, like my back just goes and it's leaves me not able to walk. And so I was seeing him because nothing was working.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's diagnosed with HEDS, which is hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which for anyone listening who has probably got ADHD, because that's why you've probably clicked on this episode, it is very high comorbidity with anyone who has ADHD, ADHD, autism. So hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, it's a connective tissue disorder. Also got POTS, which is also comorbid with that. And that's a very easy one to test for. The EDS, not so much. But the POTS, he literally sat me down, put his thumb on my wrist and counted what my pulse was whilst I was seated, told me to stand up against a wall. We waited 1 minute and then he took my pulse again. And it jumped from me sitting down. It was like 60 beats per minute. All I did was stand up. And within 1 minute, it was like 96 beats per minute. And he was oh. And I was like, well, no wonder I get dizzy every time I stand up. I faint if I have fainted from hot showers. I have fainted from just standing up. I always need to sit down. And I just thought I was unfit. And I'm like,
Oh my God. What clarity though. That's
I know. So he literally said, he's put me on salt tablets. And I was like, well, how much is too much? Because you're not supposed to have too much salt. He's like, you cannot have too much salt. Like, you physically cannot have too much salt. Take the salt tablets. So take like
is
six salt tablets.
Is he taking new patients?
Oh my gosh. He's amazing. He's the only doctor I've ever had that knows more about my conditions than I do, which is rare. Yeah. And
I get
actually
it.
Seems to want to help. So yeah.
I'm amazing. Really happy you got him. That's good.
Why was I getting there? Oh, slowest in class. That part never really like made the rejection sensitivity. But for example, I did I've got my own tarot deck that I've created and I had pitched it to a publisher and they accepted it and they said, we want to accept it, but we want to change the name. That little email, like I just got like, whoa, a publishing deal. Oh my gosh. Yay. I should have been over the moon. But the fact they just wanted to change the name sent me spiraling for 3 days.
Fair enough. I hear it now. Okay.
So it's slightly different.
I getcha.
And my husband watched me. He watched me get that email. Oh. And he said he could tell immediately like the shift that it created. And because it was like very late at night that I got it, I wasn't on my medication. It might've been slightly better if I'd had it, but I needed to like bring myself back together. Within 3 days, I was able to respond and say like, actually, that name's way better. That works. It's so smart. Like I couldn't get past the rejection of the name that I'd proposed and grown to love. It was that. I didn't end up going ahead with that publishing deal just for a couple of other personal reasons, but I am still looking for that. So we will talk about maybe tarot creation at the end, but we want to talk about using tarot for ADHD as an oven mitt. Can you tell me what that means?
It is one of the clearest metaphors, similes? Yeah, metaphor that ever popped into my head when I was trying to explain to someone who doesn't know, didn't know what tarot was. Like, they're like, I don't know what that is. It sounds familiar. Is that like a religion? I'm like, no. But I'm like, okay, so you know when you have a hot sheet of brownies, cookies, anything in the oven, right? You can't reach in and just take it out with your hand, but you could see it's there. Yeah, you need an oven mitt. I'm like, an oven mitt, exactly. Tarot is my oven mitt to get through the overwhelm of my ADHD, the noise in my head. Pre-medication, pre-Adderall, like 4 months ago, it's when it started, when I started Adderall. So from the time I needed to focus on something until 4 months ago, I needed a foam earplugs. Silence, silence, silence. And some of my family members and friends, closest friends, were like, I don't know how you can do that. Don't you need background noise? I'm like, there is still plenty of background noise. There is memories on repeat, other voices, I'll be honest, ancestors, whoever I'm sitting near. Mm-hmm. I used to think it was their moods. It was, I used to think it was their thoughts. It was more like the empathic piece, which mm-hmm. I had no understanding of. Starting to learn to block that, just get those emotional blinders on, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have learned, I'm learning to stop taking on other people's emotions because I can't help them. Like, I'm going into my therapy sessions in my brain right now, and I'm trying not to because the Adderall is wearing off. So I have counseling, I have therapy, trauma therapy in the morning, mm-hmm. and I'm already trying not right now in this moment looking at you. I'm trying not to have a side conversation with my freaking self about what I want to talk to or heard about tomorrow.
Rehearsing.
It's very, it's very difficult. And so when people are like, how can you work in complete silence? I'm like, I would punch a baby unicorn to work in complete silence. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that's like. There is so much noise in my head constantly. And it's like standing in 400 lanes of traffic, but the Adderall gets it down to like only 17 lanes of traffic.
Yeah. I said when I first started dexamphetamine, the very first time I took it, it felt like I'd had the exhaust fan on all day and someone just turned it off and I went, whoa, I didn't realize how noisy that was. That's how it felt.
100% that.
Yeah. Like, I still have my internal dialogue, but it is more streamlined.
Yeah. It's almost like right now, because the Adderall has worn off like maybe an hour ago mm-hmm. from my 3 p.m. mini dose, it's like I'm recording this live in my brain, but at the same time planning what I'm going to say in like 3 minutes mm-hmm. because I'm mm-hmm. I'm already hearing in my head what you're probably going to be asking. Yeah, I know. And it's like when you're in a movie and you miss the beginning because you're already rewriting it in your head because you could have done it better. Like, oh my God, it's like, everybody shut up. Everybody shut up in there. And it's not voices, but it kind of is. It's me having, regardless, where tarot came in for me was accessibility. I had seen glimpses of Rider-Waite. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Rider-Waite. Yeah. Thoth. These Thoth. Fancy ones. Thoth. Thank you.
Although some people say Thoth, but I think Thoth, from my understanding, is the most correct, even though it is not the ancient Egyptian of that name, which would be Tehuti.
Tehuti. Wow. Mm. Okay. Well, that was a deep dive and I loved it.
He's on my altar behind us. He's my deity.
Oh man, that's amazing. That's awesome. I have a Care Bear. So same thing. Yay. No idea what I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Adderall. You're almost there. It's like half an hour from my bedtime right now, but I have tea, so I'm good. Totally fine. Where the tarot piece comes in. Oh, right. Okay. The Rider-Waite, Thoth, they were very aesthetically overwhelming. I couldn't read it very well. Like visually, I can't, it's like visual literacy. Like I can't make out, like there's no shading that I can read. I mean, I also have dyslexia, misophonia, so that audio stuff will make me see something different. No, that's synesthesia, but it's sort of that too. But then I found this one website and a YouTube video from one suburban witch. And it was talking about Jane Austen Tarot. I'm like, oh my God. Well, I love the 2005 Pride and Prejudice because Keira Knightley was in it. And she was also in Pirates of the Caribbean, which is one of my favorite films of all time. Also, Matthew McFadden is gorgeous. That's where my brain.
Have you watched the BBC earlier version with Colin Firth as well?
7,000 times.
Okay, good. Which is your preference? I didn't know if we can continue to be friends. Oh, no, you're going to say Keira Knightley, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to say Matthew McFadden. I will give you Jennifer L., but Matthew McFadden.
Oh, Colin Firth. Oh, my gosh. The things I would do for that man as Mr. Darcy. Oh. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry.
So you saw my video, which was on my YouTube.
It was a deck review of this Jane Austen tarot, this one here. The fact that you were analytical, you were critical, you were articulate, but not formal about it, that was accessible to me because I know the canon. I know Jane Austen's works. I love Pride and Prejudice. Please don't terminate our friendship just yet. It just started. I do put on the BBC 95 frequently.
That's my sick time movie. So if I'm unwell, my husband, he just puts it on.
I was literally just about to say, but I didn't want it to you to. I didn't want you to think that I only watch it when I don't feel well.
Oh no, I watch it when.
Why would that bother me? I don't. I watch it when I don't feel well, and when I need to like jazz up, I watch the movie because it's short. But I like the longer one better. I do like the long. I like TV better than movies right now. Anyway, side note.
TV's always better than movies. Why is that a thing?
Yes. Because it's lower pressure and there's lower expectations and we don't pay as much for it. So we have less to lose and it's a higher return ROI.
I think we get more in-depth storylines with TV series.
Well, that's true. Yeah, like some episodes of Sherlock are better than any of my favorite movies. Mm. Like, oh my God. Okay. Benedict Cumberbatch, another story.
Oh, I love him. Love him.
Okay. So Jane Austen Tarot made me do a Google search for what other favorite movies of mine exist as movie tarot. And there's a deck called Movie Tarot. I did not connect with it. I gifted it to someone else. But then I found Hocus Pocus Tarot, Disney Villains Tarot. I don't love Disney, but I loved that existed. Mm-hmm. And then I crapped myself when I saw Labyrinth Tarot. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking like, why isn't there an Office Tarot? And long story short, I started collecting my favorite fandom decks, which 98% of them happen to be from Insight Editions. Mm-hmm. And I have, grief has been a big part of my mental health piece and tarot piece. Like it's all connected. So tarot was a comfort. It was somebody to converse because my mom and dad weren't there anymore. They passed away. They both passed away from cancer in 2005 and 2017, dad then mom. And for anybody who has not gone through it yet, it sucks and you get through it. And I promise. I have a grief buddies group on Instagram. Hit me up if you ever need to find it. But that's another story altogether. Tarot, I have to be honest, it was a distraction. It was a fidget spinner. Mm-hmm. While watching a show, watching Supernatural, I'd get my Supernatural deck. Or hell, I'd get my Garbage Pail Kids deck and I'll just start flipping through it to get the cards flexy. They're so tight at first. And and then I watched one of your videos, and I'm talking like 3-4 years ago now. I watched one of your videos where you, I think it was you, you interviewed your deck.
Oh yeah, so I interviewed my deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I only do that. Like I've made a video, I think, interviewing my deck and like talking, like having a think aloud protocol, like telling the viewer, whoever might be watching, both of them, that this is how it comes about, and it tells me exactly what it is. And I've compared notes with someone else who also has like the Hocus Pocus deck, two totally different vibes. Mm-hmm, it's like fraternal twins. It's not identical twin.
Yeah. I think as an animist myself, everything has a spirit. And just because it's the same tarot deck in terms of what the images on the cards are, I think the fact that it calls to us for different reasons, we have different symbolisms that we associate with different fandoms and things in the art and the symbolism for different reasons. So it's always going to be interpreted differently by people. So yeah, I 100% agree with that, that it's
right.
It's the same, but different.
Yeah. And absolutely that. And at the same time, once I read in the middle of the day instead of early morning or later in the evening, not night. And I got a very different feel with a new deck. And it was, this deck was just being a jerk. And I'm like, what? Is this me being in a bad mood? Am I stressed because I'm not eating right? And then I tried it again the next morning, or maybe like two mornings later, where when I usually read and I'm most like, I'm least critical. It was this snarky little weird thing. And then finally I asked in the cards, I didn't have a spread in mind. I just asked, I'm like, okay, why are you being like this? And the card came up for sister. And I told my sister about it. She's like, oh my God, I've wanted that deck. And I'm like, can I send it to you? She's like, would you? You don't mind? And it just, it was for her. It wasn't me. I have never heard the phrase animist. I mean, I knew exactly what it was the second you said it. I was filled with the encyclopedia of understanding of what that is. And that it just was a little too immature to tell. It was just trying to be a jerk. It just wanted to toy with me before I found out that it was for my sister. I think that was Herbcrafter's Tarot, mm-hmm. which you wouldn't think had a personality.
They all have personalities.
They do. It was just snark.
I have this like very weird fine line because I get a lot of questions from people that are like, is the tarot, you know, going to open a portal to hell? Which it's not. It's not going to open. Like it's not evil. And I use the term like it's a piece of paper with something printed on it, right? It's not demonic or anything like that. But at the same time, I still think it's also magical, but not in the bad way. Like it's this very weird fine line of being like, no, it's a piece of paper with a picture on it, but it's also a magical piece of paper with a picture on it. So
if you think about it, it's, you know, I have a bag of runes I have no connection to. I mean, I got them at Barnes and Noble. So I think I might get a bag at my local metaphysical shop coming up and see if it feels any different. I know I'm going to prescribe a different feeling to it because it wasn't Barnes and Noble, but I'll still let that settle and then try it again and compare the two and see how it goes. Cause I love the words. When I read the rune names out loud, it's just, it's vibrations and it has nothing to do with the stone. It has nothing to do with the object. And
it could also be the material. Cause I do find with some people,
fair.
Obviously I teach psychic divination. We go through tarot cards, pendulums, scrying of like candle wax reading and smoke reading and fire reading and scrying into a mirror and all sorts of stuff. Some people are just like, no, that divination style is just not for me. Other people, for example, it might be like, hey, the runes are for me, but stones? No, I need like little pieces of wood that have it inscribed.
Wood.
Yeah. That's what I was getting for you. Like it has to be
I love that.
A little bit more earthy.
That's exactly right.
Not that and stones aren't earth, but wood feels more earth than stone. No,
it's that might be part of my neurodivergence too, is wood feels, any wood feels warm to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think
I agree.
By temperature, it feels warm. Stones are cold. I love being cold. I'm cold miser. I'm always cold and I love that. So I like having that balance. I love scalding hot showers and I have enough, like wood can burn. So I'll know I'll always have warmth if I need it. Mm-hmm. But stone, I am cold water, cold stone. Like it's the element. And what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I'm also always cold, but I think that's a POTS thing now that I think about it because I have low blood pressure. So I always have freezing cold hands and feet.
Oh my gosh, that's also accurate. That could be it. So as far as like the oven mitt thing, reading tarot cards, and I want to be clear, reading tarot cards based on my favorite fandoms that I already know or am familiar with, as in I'm familiar with Garbage Pail Kids tarot and I hate the deck, but I love how much I hate it. And it hates me back. And that's exactly the vibration of Garbage Pail Kids. I don't know if you know what those are.
No, I don't, but...
Did you guys know growing up Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yes.
Like the, Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids is this American asshole version of them, just like a Mad Magazine, like a parody of mm-hmm. them. But they're really gross. It's all boogers and toilet humor and that. And it was like this like little baseball card collector things that came out. Insight did a Garbage Pail Kids tarot, and I was disgusted. I'm like, I have to have that. And I love how much I hate it. And the one reading I've done for my husband since I started professionally, he picked the Garbage Pail Kids deck. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Fine. That reading was dead on. And he's mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, that's pretty good. That makes sense. And that's high praise from him.
Yeah.
So to that end, that's the caveat, that one deck. But the ones in my collection, they feel warm when I'm holding them. If anything still feels cold, it's not a real cold.
It's an energetic cold.
It's an I think maybe that's what it is. It's like Claire tactile a word?
Claire tangency.
Claire tangency. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I didn't know that.
So there's clair sentience, right? Which is clear feelings. So that's when you feel psychically in your body. So you might be like, oh, my knee feels warm. Do you have bad knees? Like that kind of is how the information could come through. Or I have a gut feeling about this. My gut's telling me it's wrong. That's clair sentience. Clair tangency is sometimes correlated with things like psychometry, where you might hold a piece of jewelry and read the energy on the piece of jewelry. And you can, but with psychometry, what that jewelry in your hand is doing is it's activating your clairvoyance or your clairsentience or your clairaudience. You're like, when I hold this jewelry, I can see blah, 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 or I can hear this.
Yes.
So whereas clairtangency itself, I find, is like, let's say you have your hands and you are a healer and you're running them over someone's body and a certain section, your hands feel like pinpricked or hot or cold. That's giving you information that there's something there. That part of it, by feeling it literally in your hands, that is clairtangency.
Clairtangency. Interesting. So it isn't that. It's clairsentience, I guess. Uh-huh. Possibly.
So when you hold it separately, you feel something
I know.
Elsewhere in your body.
Yes. It's more knowledge about who I'm reading for, even if it's myself.
Claircognizance.
Claircognizance. Okay.
That's just clear knowing.
Clear knowing. Right. That'll be it. It's always been like that for me. What tarot can do, it's twofold, and sometimes it's simultaneous. It shuts the noise down. It's a fidget spinner.
I 100% agree with that.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's a fidget spinner that occupies my hands, which, you know, that's a sensor. It's a huge sensory thing. It's one of my five senses, six, if you will.
That's why I'm so critical of deck sizes when I'm doing unboxings and reviews.
I know.
Because when they're too big for my hands, I'm like, I can't do this. It's horrible and I don't like the feeling.
That does not bother me at all. This is the biggest I've ever had. This is the biggest deck. It's just, it slows me down and I appreciate that.
That one's okay because I think the cardstock is quite slippy. It's that linen feel.
It's really
nice.
It's beautiful.
I don't mind those ones and I can vertically shuffle them pretty well, but I have some other decks that are just so annoying. So, and I've had to just be like, I can't with this. I'm giving it away. The really thin, glossy, easy to bend, overly large ones. No, a lot of Oracle
they have to be
like
proportionate. That. It needs to be proportionate to the sizing of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I agree with that.
So, and I've pulled out the Dark Mansion Tarot for us to have a look at the end, but this one is a matte velvet. Now the card on its own feels nice, but together they are sticky. They don't shuffle well. They don't spread well. And I hate that.
Very good. Mm. All right. But well, you know what? I have to say, give you credit for that, for picking that deck that or offering that deck, and that was the one we landed on, because I have felt very against the grain the last 24 hours. I feel like, what the hell is in retrograde right now? Like, I don't think anything.
Oh, Mercury is in retrograde right now as we're recording. It went retrograde literally like 2 days ago.
Oh, that explains so much. I don't know what day it is, Hannah. I'm so backwards.
Well, you're right in the middle of a move. That is so understandable.
That is crazy. That's crazy good. That's a very good point, and thank you for reminding me of that. To conclude this point that I've been trying to articulate this late at night for me, whatever one I'm in the mood for is my favorite one at that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to pivot, right?
Yeah.
It's a fidget spinner, but the fidget part of it, the fidget spinner, the occupying my brain stuff, that's what amplifies my intuition.
I agree, yeah.
I can do that. Tarot helps me articulate it if I'm reading for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the cards to get the same information unless they prefer it. And some people love Hocus Pocus, so they just want that card thing, and they're there for the, it's kind of like, hey, come for your favorite movie, stay for the otherworldly insight.
I love that. They're
coming into it like, oh, it's so cute, I love it, Bette Midler's amazing, oh my god, and I'm really proud of that. I'm honored that they trust me with it, and I give them a disclaimer in the beginning, like, look, this is not magic, this is access to information I wouldn't otherwise be able to hear.
Yeah.
And I have found that I cannot, won't, and I won't read for more than I physically can't. It's not that I won't. I can't read clearly for a person if there is somebody else in the room visiting with them. Oh, I'm just watching. Like, I can't. You haven't paid me for two readings. Like, it's going to come. Like, I don't know how to
block it.
Block. I don't. It's not it. It's them. I don't know how to block their spirit sides from coming through, and that's been new for me and rapidly increasing. So I'm also probably going to be, shameless plug for Hannah Services, looking at your services and picking some to invest in to help learn how to protect myself, because I've always, you know, had the extra senses and known about that, but other people's people are coming through loud and clear. And a part of my trauma healing is letting myself be mad at my parents. This is another side note. Being mad at my late parents, which was very difficult as a lapsed Catholic, brought up to obey your elders, right? But in a reading the other day with one of my trusted writing buddies, my mom asked if she could come through and give a message to my querent, who I trust and know. And I'm like, but mom, aren't you mad that I'm mad at you? She's like, no, honey, you have every right to be mad at me. Like, I heard this privately, like in my head. I don't see apparitions or anything like that, but it's like clairaudience. That one I know. That one's 44 years now, like 43 years going now.
Yeah.
So that is no surprise for me. And I make them, it's almost like I make my parents make appointments to connect with me now to protect myself. Like, I'm taking my power back. I do exactly. I've learned about boundaries. Like, the day my mom died, the boundaries got so easy to make.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
And what you're doing as well is do you have other people's ancestors? I think you mentioned they come through as well sometimes. Yes. So
it feels like their team. There's a line in the sand. It's like dodgeball in gym class.
Yeah.
Mine are behind me.
There's a behind them.
Behind them, but they're on a computer. So they're in their reflection on the Zoom, literally.
I know what you mean. Yeah. So boundaries.
But I don't see them. I feel them. Yeah.
Psychic boundaries and mediumship boundaries, because it sounds like your mediumship and psychic abilities are together, which for most people they are. They just don't realize. There is a like, all mediums are psychics because they're using the psychic senses to get the medium messages through, but not all psychics are mediums, but all psychics have the ability to be a medium if they wish to be.
That's it. Okay.
So
I don't know how. I never
some people put that line in them, that boundary. They're like, no, I don't want to do mediumship, and they put it in and they block it, which is fine.
Yeah.
So if you don't know how to block it, that's something you can definitely work on. One thing I will suggest, and if anyone else is having this issue as well, if you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, same thing happens to me, or I'm having trouble even with psychic stuff, how to stop it sometimes, I do have a free meditation. If you just look up meditations, like, it's a Suburban Witchery podcast, so you can put Suburban Witchery on Spotify. It should pop up as well as Witch Talks.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
There's three on there. One of them is a psychic shutdown. And that one I recommend you do as you're falling asleep. So put it on, add it to a playlist so that it doesn't autoplay anything else afterwards. So what I've done is I've made it so that the sound, you know, gradually goes off, and it should help you fall asleep, and then it just turns itself off, type of thing. That's what it should be. Or you can download it and just play it, right? So that one will teach you just in a very quick guided meditation, very quickly, some psychic shutdown and shielding techniques for falling asleep, especially when you're asleep. Sometimes people lucid dream and they don't want to because it makes them feel exhausted in the morning. This should help with that sort of a thing as well. So that's
a good one
to try.
I'm we'll be doing that tonight, which is like in 40 minutes for me. And I love that. Anyway, that is what I meant by oven mitts. Long walk up a short pier.
You know what's funny? I have an ancestor, so my grandmother's mother, and I was reading for myself one day. I was, you know, shuffling and just sitting right here shuffling and doing some journal writing with my tarot prompts and like my own little reading. And I got this image of her saying, I want to help with your tarot. And I was like, no, because you were very devout Dutch Reformed Christian. Like, that's not what it just, it didn't compute in my brain. I was like, why on earth would you come through?
And oh yeah.
About when it doesn't my, and saying you want to help me with my tarot reading. That's, that doesn't make sense. And I was like, I'm just going to test this. So I was shuffling. I can't remember what deck I was using, but I was shuffling.
Yeah.
And I basically just said, okay, if you legitimately want to help me with this, give me the High Priestess. Spread them randomly, picked it, and it was the High Priestess. And I was like, okay, I guess you're here to help me with my tarot reading then. So that was my way of almost like clarifying the message that I got through by shuffling, wow, spreading, selecting at random to confirm. So that's a fun way
and
to
it,
do things.
And it felt like it fit afterwards, like she was safe, yeah, and sound.
Yeah.
Oh, good for, yeah, good for you for questioning it though. That's really incredible. That's another good tool.
Yeah. So I use it sometimes as a way of checking information. Like if that's the case, then show me the Empress. And if the Empress comes out, then I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Because the likelihood of you being able to pick at random without being able to see,
right,
we all know, yeah, that's not easy. So I figure it's meant to be. So what other ways do you use it? Like you're using it to cut through the noise. How else would you, yes, use it for ADHD issues?
For AD, thank you. That's awesome. That's a really helpful question because I forgot what I was saying. When I am distracted, when I forget what I'm doing, because I do also have, I get a TBI, traumatic brain injury from, mm-hmm, a car accident long time ago. Short-term memory is terrible. If like I'm
compounded
just
by ADHD as well, I'm sure.
Exactly. So if I'm working on something and I pick like, okay, just give me a card to physically remind me what I'm working on. So I'll just, it doesn't mean anything. I've seen it in elementary school, mm-hmm, for children. Like they physically put something on like an ear, a picture of like a cartoon ear to remind the kid to be listening right now. Mm. It literally, so this one is very surface level. Like it would just do this, or I might meditate on it and make an association and just like keep it propped up or something like that. In writing, when I'm doing a deep non-day job, deep focus writing session, and I have choice overwhelm, choice paralysis of,
yes,
if I'm in revision, that's a 75,000 different options I can choose from for where to start. Totally forgetting that I have a method, but my ADHD and short-term memory will try to hijack that.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling a card, doing a reading spread, it calms me down for one thing. That's level A. It's something to focus on besides overwhelm.
It's also a little novelty as well.
Exactly. Oh, I'm chasing that dopamine. Are you kidding, yeah, me? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if I want something spooky, I'll grab my Supernatural deck. If I want, mm-hmm, something cute, but like nostalgia, it'll be probably Hocus Pocus. If I want to go deep and get some David Bowie love, it's Labyrinth. Like, so it's whatever I need in that moment. I can trust myself to know that some part of myself will say like, you really need to calm down. Let's do Seasons of the Witch and Oracle, mm-hmm, Pole, right?
Yeah,
it's love just those usually, and I charge less for reading Oracle because it's so simple. It's for reading with those decks because, yeah, it's such a pleasure. It's there's not as much effort I need to put into it, like, mm-hmm, not because it's simple, but because it's a freaking joy to, yeah, read those. Oh my God, I love them so much. But for ADHD, it will. So if I'm overwhelmed, it helps me focus. Even just the act of reading for myself, just a fun novelty, like that, mm-hmm, chasing that dopamine. It also helps make a choice for me that giant baby Erica doesn't feel like making because I'm 43 with ADHD.
Yeah,
42. I don't know how old I am.
I absolutely relate to the choice making. I used to, yep, have a tarot reading that I would sell. It was a PDF reading and it was called the Decision, yeah, Maker Tarot. And it was when you had, yep, like 2 to 3 things that you couldn't pick between. And I would, yep, help you choose that because that's what I use it for. So I was like, I'm using,
exactly,
it. Then other people need it.
I have on my website a PDF packet and individual. There's the bundle, the Dork Witch's bundle. I don't remember what it's called, but it's the spreads that I wrote for myself. I made them aesthetically fun and simple, and it's there. And one of them is the, what is it? You're just my type. And it's like, it's the cards are in the shape of a typewriter, and it's what to start on. Like if I'm, I don't want to decide.
Yeah.
Decide for me.
Yeah.
That is so freaking good for my ADHD, offsetting the responsibility.
Yeah.
I can't, it's that choice overwhelm. And if someone else can make the decision, I don't have to take that responsibility, and that's not energy I'm wasting on it. And yeah. By responsibility, I mean, it's the cards. It's not me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who am I arguing that with? Myself. So it's all futile, but it's energy I didn't need to spend. And this is just I have found my own ways, and it's different every day. It's different every week. I need different things, different days, different hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I will, my brain, my tarot brain, my tarot self, my higher self will let me know what I need in that moment. The other day I pulled a tarot card and it felt like half. And I'm like half, half, half. And I just looked back and I stretched, and the stretch felt so good. And I was touching, I think Yule, Seasons of the Witch, Yule Oracle. And it felt right. And so I had a double two decks, mm-hmm. tarot and Oracle. And my brain made sense of the message, because it's already chaos up there. This chaos even simplifies it. It's all oven mitts to get me safely to make a choice. I have gone into an oven, a hot oven, and pulled stuff out before. It doesn't turn out well, you guys. And I mean mm-hmm. metaphorically and literally.
Oh yeah.
I was a kid. Too. I didn't know what I was doing. Oh yeah. You burn yourself.
Whatever. I've just done it because I just didn't think and just forgot that you needed them in the moment, and then gone to grab and gone, no.
That's ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned you use it for your writing and editing and things like that as well, because when I'm writing and I write fiction, let's just say I'm writing and I know I need a background character to like come in and deliver some message or do something, I can get so caught up in the rabbit hole of crafting this perfect character that doesn't mean anything to the plot. They're literally just bringing a message in. But my brain is like, okay, well, what do they look like? What is their name? What is their birth chart? Because all of my characters have birth charts. Like, and it will sidetrack me and I will not get the words that I needed out because I'm creating some character. So what I've started doing is with my tarot, I will be like writing. I'm like, oh, okay, I need a character. Hannah, they're not a big one. Okay, let's pull a card. All right, this is who they are. And I pull it. Let's say it's like, I don't know, page of pentacles. Then that would be, okay, so it's a young child or teen, like early teens sort of character. Great. Maybe they are coming to deliver this message of whatever it is. And when I look at the Rider-Waite-Smith version, he looks like he's veered off the path. So maybe he was a little bit late because he was focused on something else. So when he gets there, my main character is like, hurry up. What took you so long? Great. Cool. Got a scene. Boom. Done.
I am recording that in my brain right now, because that's beautiful. That is absolutely what emotional support writing buddies do for each other.
Yeah.
And when my people aren't available to we call them study halls, like to have mm-hmm. virtual body doubling sessions with us.
You need to join my writing Discord.
You need to join my writing Slack. Okay.
What's Slack?
Oh my gosh. Slack is Discord, but in America, and it's worse.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I have a Discord group. It's called Word Witches, and it's for anyone who is writing and is a witch. Doesn't matter what you're writing. And so we have in there, there's like a section where you can do sprints if you want to like get some words down. You can sprint together.
That's amazing.
Whatever. I find sprints so good for the dopamine. Like, and the timer.
Opposite. Oh my God. Oh.
Because it has a time. Like you say, okay, it's a 25-minute sprint or a 10-minute sprint, and you know you have to get back and give your word count so it can tell you who wins in the little thing.
Oh my gosh.
I need
Ooh.
That.
Oh, okay. That's really amazing. I would be honored to join. Absolutely not for the sprints. That has
you don't
the
have to
opposite.
Do the sprints.
I have 8 people in my Slack group. And it's,
we call it
like do the words, because we just need to sit down and do the words.
We have 37 people in this group.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a really good amount. I think that includes my bot, so there might be 36. But there's like the general like chat, there's writing witchy tips, there's a writer's helpline and resources. And then I've got my own little like subsection for people who are beta reading for me. So
that's great.
Like a little private one. We can always make more for if other people want to beta read or be writing buddies, but it's good.
That's really amazing. That would be awesome. Ours is a Twitter that isn't Twitter. Like we missed, like all of us found each other on Twitter. And then like even 5 years ago, Twitter was starting to crumble. And we just wanted the writing buddy, the companionship during our work days. Cause a lot of us were starting to go remote anyway. And it's just evolved into this, there's a core of like anywhere from 5 to 16 of us. And the 2 to 3 of us are almost daily in like at least a 1 to 4 hour. It's like we're in an office together, just doing our own thing parallel.
Yeah.
And we body will, doubling. But there's a body doubling. Exactly.
Yeah.
We That's will an ADHD have check-ins. Thing. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And Tarot will help me do that. Like I'll say sometimes if nobody's available, I can set a timer and like every, I don't know, 23 minutes, 27 minutes, I like prime numbers. I'll set a timer and pull a card. And that's like, oh, this person has joined the chat. So who would it be right now? let's see. Emma Woodhouse. I pulled 7 of diamonds and Jane Austen.
Right.
And
you're
Emma.
Not going to get anything done.
Nope. Oh no. It's like, oh, and what that would have told me in that moment, if I was by myself, is like, okay, this is a good time to go get distracted.
Yeah.
Go have a walk in the garden, go get a snack, go just get off task for a moment and just be clueless, if you will. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny that I pulled the Emma card because that's clueless. Oh, so yeah. And also, actually, I think everything just comes back to the dopamine. Mm-hmm. And
well, I think that's why the fandom voice. Decks work so well with yourself. And I'm sure other people with ADHD, I wonder how many fandom people are neurodivergent, probably majority.
That is an entirely amazing and appropriate question, and one that is way too big for us to tackle. But I think everybody, yeah, I'm like it would not surprise me.
It would not surprise me at all.
No,
at all.
No,
it's a safe space.
Hyperfixation,
hyperfixation, hyperfocus. We get obsessed with these like characters, these stories, these worlds, and I mean, I was actually when I was planning to come on and chat with you today. Sometimes I look naked because my hair like covers when I'm wearing like a tank top. But I used to have this amazing like True Blood t-shirt and I was like, that would be perfect. And then I remembered I've had children that no longer fits. So.
Oh, God.
But I used to like when I love a fandom, like I loved the True Blood everything. I still love it.
Oh.
I had the t-shirts. I still have the mug. I bought like actual True Blood. Like they made a drink. If there was a True Blood tarot, oh my gosh, I want to make it. I want to make a True Blood tarot. And I would love to make, what was the other one? A Wheel of Time tarot.
Oh my God. How good. It's asking for it.
Oh, I would love that.
Hannah, off
with
record,
insight.
Pitch it. Pitch it.
With insight, when you're doing things like the House of Dragons, for example, is that official? Is it an official Game of Thrones one?
Yeah. Cool. Insight has the market. It feels like they have the market cornered on IP. My editor she's amazing. Her name is Anna. Anna, I hope you're listening. I love you. And I'm so honored you picked me and I'm here. They go by the book. They are endlessly creative. I can actually tell you guys, this is a huge piece of why suburban witchery unlocked dork witchery for me. I did not decide to be a tarot writer and then start reading tarot cards. I was obsessed with the tarot decks from Insight, and they all happen to be from Insight Editions because they have the affiliations with these formal IP holders. Here's what happened. I freaking was obsessed with their decks. Hocus Pocus, Labyrinth. They made tarot accessible to me. I don't understand the Rider-Waite images, but I sure as shit know, excuse me, can we swear on this?
Yeah, I have an explicit rating.
Yes! Thank God. poop. That's a bad word. I sure as shit can understand. I'm blanking. Like, you know, Tommy or Thackeray Binks as whatever character the cat was in the Hocus Pocus tarot. I know I can connect that. Even if the author and artist had some discord or there was some typo, I don't mind. I still make sense, my own sense of it. Mm. It could be just two random pieces slapped together. Like the star can be a volcano. Like I'll make sense of it. Actually, that does kind of correlate. That's okay. But like not the best example. My brain will make sense of it for me. That's just the noise wants to catch on to anything.
Yeah. And I think with neurodivergence, we are, and especially myself with ADHD, like the connection aspect, that we make all these connections and the skip mm-hmm. thinking and all of that, because the connections are so like clear to us. When you give us something that's from a show that we understand the character, you can get such a rich reading from drawing on that character and that show and that scene, or what it comes through as, mixed with the traditional reading.
Absolutely. It's amazing. And the extra piece is, especially if I do not know the person I'm reading for, even if it's asynchronous, like or pre-recorded, like I'll just, mm-hmm. I give them an unedited video of me doing their reading, I will still have a conversation with them as my camera. Like, oh, you know, in the part of whatever, Clueless or Hocus Pocus, when blah, 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 blah. Even if they don't know, they'll go and watch it. And if they do know, even better. Like they will, yeah. So circling back. Again, I'm sorry. I was obsessed with their decks, and I'm looking like, I wonder if they have an office one coming out. And I already had a pitch that I made up for it. Like I had a mini proposal ready to go for an official licensed tarot, because that's what I noticed about their decks. They were all official. I looked up the website for insightedditions.com. I started there, scrolled down to the bottom, like the contact, whatever, for general inquiries and submission ideas, click here. Okay, here. An email address popped up and I hit it. I added it to my drafts in Gmail and polished the proposal, which was like this mini nonfiction kind of proposal with like mm-hmm. a mock-up of the cards. Like I drew them. It got me in the door. And I work in publishing and I know these hoops to jump through and in a professional way. And anybody, if you're listening, feel free. If you have any questions about publishing, feel free to email. I'll answer what I can and point in the direction if I can't. Erica@dorkwitch.xyz. If you're interested in any piece of publishing, especially tarot publishing stuff, I think, kind of, and fiction and nonfiction. But I said, hi, who would I, do you happen to know, to this general info? It could have been a bot for all I know. So I sent her my mocked up proposal for my favorite fandom. And of course, it is done from Dwight Schrute's voice. And again, this is why I'm a Schrute historian. Like I do fictional research on his family history to enrich the context, the voice, the fly on the wall, mm-hmm. Voice of the card descriptions, based on what I already knew about all of their decks, the Inside Edition decks. And that's what I just mocked it up and did the best I could. And it was good enough. And guys, shoot your shot. The worst they could say is no. Mm-hmm. And I always say, whenever I tell people that, I always hear my mom in my head say, what are they going to do? Take away your birthday? Like if you try, if you pitch something. Also, you always, everybody pitches before they're ready to submit something in publishing. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
And it sucks, but it does. But yeah, it thickens the skin a little bit at a time. And it just shows you what it's like. And sometimes they do give you feedback. Sometimes they ghost you. Sometimes they say, oh, this is great. Try this person instead. Not for us. Yeah. So you never know, but I shot my shot and that was about a year ago to the day or to the month rather. And I just started my third deck, yesterday.
Amazing.
So I reverse engineered it.
Yeah.
My success, my success story, my publishing story. I reversed it.
It's so much harder to read for people, always. Yes. Even yourself mm-hmm. included, reading for strangers is so much easier.
Yes. Actually, that's a great point. For messages of clarity, mm-hmm. I ask for someone else to help me read it, or I will pull cards, leave them face down, and come back an hour later after I forgot about them.
Yeah, good one. That's a good tip.
Yeah, I didn't realize I didn't. I think it happened accidentally one time because I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Like I went to make breakfast and ended up, cleaning the kitchen or trying to, and came, oh yeah, I pulled cards. Let me see what they said. And it was as if someone else had pulled them for me, because there was enough of a glitch in the matrix for my, mm-hmm. my brain to wipe out. Cause I have a short-term memory anyway. Which means it's very easy for me to forget physically where things are. Object permanence.
Yeah. That's huge for me. I forget people's names all the time. And that
name numb.
Yeah. Nope. It mm-hmm. really, it's like a mm-mm. self-conscious thing with me as well, that I haven't mm-hmm. remembered someone's name. And I try really, really hard. Like the lengths I go to make sure I remember people's names is kind of wild.
I, We should have a different episode about that because I have leaned into it. I said, hey, I'm Erica. Please tell me your name. I will forget. And yeah. It's a memory issue. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And they're like, that's okay. I'm horrible. But I will know their face the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the facial recognition. I know it's compensating for the lack of name, or it's vice versa. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be good at names because I know faces. Mm-hmm. Because you can always use your colloquialisms like, oh my God, hey, how's that thing?
Do you have to have subtitles as well?
Yes.
I have to watch the subtitles.
Yes. Because I like reading. But yeah. If I'm not, my mind will wander. It's a fidget spinner. It keeps something occupied. If I'm in the middle of a dose of Adderall in the middle of the day, I don't need it. This late
I haven't
at night.
Tried that. Because I only watch.
Just compare.
I only watch when
you
the
only
kids
watch
are in
the
bed.
Evening. Exactly. Do an experiment. Take an hour when you're at the peak of the thing, just to see how different it is. Mm. Or if like if you're watching it with captioning on and it gets annoying, like oh god,
because I get
you'll
like
know.
The. I find I can't hear them without subtitles. Like I even struggle with like if I'm talking to someone and someone else is talking. To try and get all the words like into my head somehow. Nope. It's very hard.
No, they weave into each other and make like a cement wall. It's like a bad chemical reaction. And I cannot, my brain literally doesn't process.
Auditory processing disorder. That's what it is. And that's a ADHD and autism thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it is for me. And I couldn't remember the phrase. Thank you. I keep looking at the emu picture behind you anyway. That's my focal point.
I painted that.
What?
Yeah.
Do you have any prints of it?
I do sell some on Society 6.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm ordering one after this. He's been looking at me all day.
I'm gonna show you this one.
Oh yeah?
This is one of my magpies.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's beautiful. Good word.
I'm a watercolor artist as well.
I love that. I don't know if I knew that yet. Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
You know, when I originally first ever thought of like, I could make a deck, I thought of making a bird deck with like watercolor
I love that.
Birds as each of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And?
Then I got overwhelmed with the fact that I'd have to do 78 pieces of artwork. I don't have
enough.
That doesn't provide the dopamine I want. One, yes. Two, yes. Maybe three. And then I would never get it done.
Excellent. That's an amazing answer.
Yeah.
And for anybody listening, like you got to follow dopamine. As long as it doesn't harm yourself or someone else. And if you're struggling with ADHD, follow the dopamine. If you need silence when you're working on something, do it. If you want to fall asleep holding your favorite Oracle deck, do it. You can find the cards in the morning. And like my favorite deck, I dropped it in water. Like I think I was in the bath and it's like hot waterlogged and I love it even more now. It's just like I could pick that deck out of a lineup, and I know what moms mean now when they can hear their kid crying in a crowd of kids.
Yeah.
Like I would know that deck anywhere because it's mine. Like it's got my DNA imprinted on me by falling in my bath water. I don't know.
I have a coffee covered deck. Yeah, absolutely. Just as like so with the tarot, for example, I'm just gonna break it down. We've got tarot as a fidget and a way to keep your hands busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's tactile.
Yep.
Gets you out of your head when decision making, gets you out of overwhelm.
Yes.
Helps make short, easy decisions for you when you need them.
Yes.
And
the bonus with that is offsetting responsibility for me. It's not me, it's the card.
Offsetting responsibility, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, I'd say the dopamine of the novelty of having different decks and fandom decks and things like that can be really helpful.
And appreciating the art. I grew up in a family of artists, so I appreciate the watercolor. Thomas Hijo is the one who did the art for the House of the Dragon. He did Labyrinth and Lord of the Rings.
Cool.
Tarot. Mm-hmm. They're wood etchings, and it's like they're stamped. Ooh. Like they're incredible. And he's the artist for, like, we're the two people on that.
Cool.
It's House of Dragon, and there's a link on my website to the cover image, and I hadn't seen it. And my editor, I'm like, hey, do we know this is coming out? She's like, oh yeah, here's the link. And I saw the cover art and I cried, like it was so gorgeous. And it's wood and it's like wood carvings, and I felt
that's
it. And I'm
so
like,
cool.
Yes, this is amazing. And what were we saying? Because
it
tarot also amplifies my mediumship. Psychic, but the mediumship, which is not new, but it is just getting stronger and easier to access.
I think with a lot of people as well, the way I teach divination, right? Because I have some people who are like, well, why learn divination? Why not just learn to be a psychic, right? Or to be a medium? And to that I say, go for it. Like, you can do that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When I'm with a client, sometimes if I said to you like, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be really successful, you'd kind of be like, okay, cool. It might be successful. She says it's going to be successful. But if I have a card that pops out and I say, look at this, you can see how this is happening and why it's happening, this is going to be successful. You've got something then to remember and to pull from. And I think it gives people a little bit more of a foundation in, like, not believability, but maybe, because it gives your client something they can grasp onto that's tangible and it's not just you pulling things out. So I think it's beneficial for clients or for the people you're reading for. Mm-hmm. But then I also think as well, it is as you said, focus for people who are neurodivergent. It's a great way to focus our thoughts and our intuition into this. And it's also a shortcut, because to get that same information,
it is such an amazing shortcut.
The energy and the effort that you have to put into and the focus, and it's boring, or is this so much more exciting? It's fun.
It feels like a swear word to say that tarot is that shortcut to help me intuit for people.
But it is. It's like
true.
I could sit there in meditation and give you probably the same information, but A, I'm going to have a hard time remembering all the stuff that comes through.
Right.
And B, this is so much more fun. And why not take the shortcut?
Absolutely. And not only that, there's 18 different levels of interpretation on the face of a card. Yeah. Not only is it, you know, upright, reversed, but there's color, shapes that pop out to me,
symbolism,
negative space. Like I'm still looking at the world card, and like there's negative space in this thing that looks like it reminded me of the letter X, which just reminded me that I wanted to continue watching X-Men as research for a project that I'm thinking about doing.
Yeah.
Like, not a tarot thing, although that's a really fucking good
cool
idea.
Cool idea.
Yeah, right. Anyway, you know, it's just like our brains make sense of it anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's like in danger situations, like real life threatening danger, your brain picks up on it before you do.
Yeah.
Or your body picks up on it before your brain does. Mm-hmm. This expedites that too. If not that like reading for someone is a danger situation, but just like you saying, just for anybody who has not either does not read tarot or doesn't trust their skills yet. I don't have formal training in reading tarot. I am
anyone that tells you you need formal training to read tarot
is trying to sell
you formal training.
Bing, bing, bing. Right? What is appealing to me is I am now doing this professionally, and just now I'm starting to think about hiring Hannah for some of her services or like routines and videos. Yay! Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because I can take it seriously, and now that I can tell that, like, I don't know how to articulate to people that, look, I'm not an official medium, but it's coming through lately. And I do give that the disclaimers to the people I'm comfortable with face to face, but I it's not a guarantee. It's just guidance. It's just, and that shortcut part is so good. Like, take the shortcuts life gives you. Nobody's going to be mad at you advocating for yourself. And tarot helps me do that.
Yeah.
Especially with boundary making. And I feel like I'm talking in circles here, and that's okay because that's what my brain needs me to do. But yeah, Hannah, your turn to talk. I'm going to take some tea.
I think we've done a good job of showing how tarot can be a really great oven mitt for people who have ADHD.
Cheers.
I'm really glad that you've shared about the decks that you're creating as well. I think I'm planning on doing a whole episode on deck creation. So I may have to get you on to chat about that as well. So actually creating and making decks. I said before I was going to pull a tarot card to finish off our chat. Now, whilst I do that, do you have a question to start off with?
Yes, I do. I was going to say no, but I want to be honest. What is the best way I can help my back pain? There is something else going on than physical pain, and I don't know what it is or whose it is. It's just, I know that the body holds trauma. How can I better understand what's happening? And I have contacts with a chiropractor, acupuncturist, massage therapist. I am missing something. Mm-hmm. It's like my mom not telling me why. Like, But why? What's the thing I'm missing? Jumper.
Oh, that was just bad shuffling. Because that was like 20 cards.
It's a lot of jumpers. So
I have a rule with jumpers. If it's one card, it's a jumper. Any more than that, I'm just bad shuffling. And this Fair is enough. The one I told you, it's a really sticky, thick.
Oh, deck. Yeah. I'm just going to stretch for a second.
It's got this like lovely black matte edging.
Oh, wow.
But it is a bit chunky.
Did you say it was like velvet coated?
Yeah, it's like really, like you can see there's like no shine.
Oh, God, that's beautiful.
At all on that. All right, so let's have a look. I've got a couple things that are already sort of like coming through.
Oh, thank you.
So card we got is the Nine of Swords. So I'm going to pull it up for you and I'm going to describe it to my listeners. We have a woman sitting in a bed, covering her face, like clenched up, you know, like knees up to the chest, face pulling forward. And then this big shadow monster, basically like looking like it's about to consume her with all of these swords. Two things. When I'm doing health readings, which, I mean, obviously there are ethical things around health readings. I have a code of ethics on my website. In terms of things like pregnancy and health readings, I don't actually, I wouldn't actually do those as a paid reading, just my ethics. But I do for, in terms of like free ones that I'm giving away, like I'm gifting this to you at the moment, or sometimes in my group calls as well.
Okay.
Now, with this one, one thing that comes up when I see swords like this, especially in this aspect, I'm going to hold it up again so you can see, I would actually say that, I know you said you've got an acupuncturist, but swords I often see as acupuncture can be very helpful for this, or some other form of needle something or other. So whether it's a, for example, I've had like prolotherapy in my back, that is an injection. It's like this like needle, kind of like pain to get better type of aspect that comes along with it.
Interesting. Oh,
so
wow.
I'd suggest potentially looking in with your acupuncturist again, but then the base meaning of this card is anxiety, fear, and worry, right? It is like, I can't sleep because my mind is so busy because I'm worrying about all of these things, or I'm scared of what's going to happen, or I don't know what's going to happen. It's this like unsureness, okay? You know, I feel like there's something there in the dark and I can't really see it and I don't want to look at it. So there's a little bit there to probably, that's going to feed into that back as well. When I was shuffling, I mean, you've just, and even just without going into any psychic stuff, right? You've just had a big move. You've just had a huge move. Nothing feels stable. And when we look at our back is stability. So there's nothing stable there. Root chakra is all about things that make us feel safe. When our finances are threatened, when our home situation is threatened, when our health is threatened, those sorts of things, it's like that survival instinct kicks in, and that's where it's held. That's where we hold that bit. So anything you can do in terms of, you know, root chakra is red. So eating root vegetables, drinking black tea can be helpful. Also things like rooibos tea, red crystals such as red jasper can be really helpful. I would say like put it in your back pocket or something like that. Meditating on that root chakra. Using affirmations that start with I am. So I am safe. I am secure. I am allowed to feel angry about not having things where I want them to be. Like that sort of allowance can be really helpful. So I'd say that's sort of like one mental aspect slash some spiritual aspect slash the potential looking into the needle aspect, whether acupuncture or something like a prolotherapy or something, which is usually given. Prolotherapy, just as a side note, I get that for when I said I was seeing the pain doctor.
Okay.
Because I have EDS, I have hypermobility in my joints, specifically my hip joints. And so this needle goes through those hip joints to cause an inflammatory response, which then makes your body like heal the connective tissue. So that's that one. I'm not saying that's what you should get, but I'm saying that
you could. I didn't know that existed. That's
have a look at EDS. Have you ever looked at it? I don't know if you have chronic like body pain or anything, because it is very comorbid with people who are neurodivergent.
Yes. This is from it's the lower back, and that was the primary injury of when I was hit by a drunk driver. And I mean, going on 15, 16 years ago now.
So mine was also a traumatic, like don't know what I did to it, but I was mountain biking down the death road in Bolivia. And I hit a rock funny on the bike and I got stuck literally in the bike position. I could not stand up. I was like horrible.
Oh my God.
And we were in Bolivia and it was like the week before we were meant to come home and we ran out of money. And I had to like call my parents and be like, I need to see a doctor. Like I am in so much pain. And we had a doctor come to the hostel and he gave me injections in my back and I didn't know what they were because my medical Spanish was not that great.
My medical Spanish was not that good.
And it was like this recurring issue. So I put it down to it being that for a very long time. And I found out later I've got a few bones that are broken there. But the issues that I've had now, I'm like, oh, it must be that. It must be that. And this doctor is like, no, I think that's your red herring. That's like what you think it is because something happened. But this is actually separate. It's just in the same spot. And EDS can flare up. It's genetic, but it can flare up with trauma, grief, hormonal changes, and things like childbirth. So mine was triggered by childbirth hormonal changes, like extra triggered. When I was a kid, I obviously still had it because it was genetic, but I didn't know things like crying, burning my eyes wasn't normal. So no one talked about it.
I am so grateful for you. Thank you. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
I was going to call you dark witchery, but suburban witchery.
Yeah. You're dark witchery. I'm suburban witchery.
Yes, we are. And with our powers combined, are you kidding?
We are witchery planet.
Oh my God. That was amazing and beautiful and dorky. Hannah, thank you so, so much for having me on.
Can you tell everyone where the best place to find you? Like, what is your like one-stop shop link or whichever?
You got it. Dorkwitch.xyz is my website and it is my Dork Witchery is my handle for YouTube, Twitter, which I'm ghosting pretty much. Instagram. But I think I'm after I settle into the new home next month, my primary focus and joy, that dopamine I'm chasing, is going to be YouTube, my YouTube channel at Dork Witchery, and much interactive because like it can be a podcast, it can be a social post, whatever I want it to be.
Yeah.
Just at Dork Witchery. And again, any publishing questions or brain picks or want to know about my services that I offer, erica@dorkwitchery.xyz.
Cool. Thank you so much. I will pop that in the description box below as well. Thanks. So people can find you easily. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy. And thank I will have you back on and we will talk about deck creation and
I would love
all
that.
Geeky stuff.
I love it. Thank you so much, Hannah.
You're welcome.
Be amazing. Stay awesome.